This is How I Built My Audience with Blake Immel.
So this actually the first time that the audience is hearing this, but this is the second time we started recording because we had some technical difficulties through the introduction here. So this is round two. Daniel's had some practice already. We have Daniel Vassalo here who is going to talk to us about Twitter and Gumroad and basically creating digital products and using that to grow your audience. But before we dive too much further into it, Daniel, once again, I'm going to give you a chance to talk about just introduce yourself and what you're working on and what's important to you and the things that you post about.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm a software developer by background. I started sharing my story on the internet about how I left my cushy job at Amazon to take the plunge and work for myself. This happened almost 2 years ago. I left in February of 2019. And since then, I had been documenting mostly on Twitter and a few other places, the things that I had been trying to make a living with my own skills on the internet. At first, I started a software business called Userbase, which initially felt like my best shot at making a living for myself. But eventually, I started to evolve my strategy instead of focusing on just one thing. I wanted to do a few other things, mostly to hedge my bets, but also to keep life interesting and to discover what works and what doesn't. Long story short, one of the first things I did was to create a short self-published ebook about AWS, in fact, called The Good Parts of AWS. And this turned out to be quite successful financially. It did, I think, almost $40,000 in the first month or less, and it ended up doing over 100K in the first year. Sort of, and the success of this inspired me to keep talking about how I built my audience to manage to find customers for this book, which sort of then inspired me to create my second info product, which was a short video course about creating about how I created my audience, which again exceeded my expectations in terms of financial success. It did almost 200K in sales, and which is almost all profits in less than a year. Like I released it in April of last year. And apart from these, I was doing a few other things late last year and the beginning of, early 2020, I was doing some freelancing as well. Again, just to expose myself to other means of making a living, which I stopped. And then I bumped into another opportunity, which is a mix between, it's a quarter time role that I'm doing at Gumroad, being their product manager, working on average 10 hours a week, right, which is all asynchronous, fits very well with my lifestyle. So yeah, I'm doing lots of different things. I'm in info products, which is my main source of income right now. A software business, which is still very small. It's only doing few, I think we just breached like $500 monthly recurring revenue. So it's still quite tiny. And there's the Gumroad role. But in addition, I spend probably the majority of my time actually is just on Twitter, replying to people. Like now I have over 55,000 followers. I get something like 60, 70 comments every day. And I try to respond to everyone. And believe me, it's become almost my main sort of activity. Like I probably spent 3-4 hours a day easily just answering people's questions. Right? Which helps probably all my businesses indirectly, but it's hard to attribute it to any one business in particular.
Definitely. Yeah, you're all over the place and you're one of those bigger accounts that actually does reach back in and comment back. And that's actually how we were able to connect a little bit. So this works for me. I'm glad you have the strategy that you have for sure. And I do want to get into your Twitter strategy, but I actually want to flip the script a little and start with Gumroad and then go back to Twitter, because you built your Twitter, but then you've also really built your Twitter after you've had this course launch and just like you've been growing both of them simultaneously. So I want to dive into the strategies and tactics that you actually used once you had built the Gumroad, the Twitter Gumroad course specifically for once you had built that, like how you actually promoted it initially. Can you speak to that a little bit about day one launch or even before that, how you prepped for the launch of that and what the tactics were that you used that were successful?
So it's a funny story, right? Because it wasn't even deliberate. I think what happened, I think to explain it clearly. So I had already created my first ebook, which at the time I had, I think when I launched it, I had around 11,000 followers on Twitter. And I think it's probably best to explain the whole thing. Right? So initially when I started tweeting, back when I started almost from zero, I started tweeting about programming topics because I was building a software business. I was doing lots of coding myself. It's what I was thinking about. I had some opinions about the technologies that I was using. And this is how I started getting most engagement at first. Right? So people are asking me, what do you think about this product, about this, why aren't you using that? And I started to sense people wanting to know more from me about this topic. So I had this idea of maybe let's try to monetize this. Actually, I think what was happening was I was struggling to answer everyone's questions. I was feeling like I'm replying in a short tweet comment. I had more to say, and I was barely keeping up. So it inspired me to try to create my first ebook that was quite a short product. It was created pretty much in just 2 weeks of full-time work. After that, so it wasn't like one of those books where you spend a year writing it and editing it. So long story short, I announced it on Twitter and it did very well initially, like immediately, like all these people that had been asking me questions, or a small subset of those 10,000 followers that I had jumped in and bought the book, just a small impulse buy for them, $28, that's what I launched it with. And after that, when that happened, pretty much immediately the next day and the next few days, I kept posting a little bit about my performance because it surprised me how well it did. Like it did almost $10,000 in the first day. And I was posting screenshots on my Gumroad dashboard, and people started asking me, what do you attribute to like these sales? Where did they come from? Like, how did you find your customers? And I was pretty much explaining that I had built this little audience around me on Twitter just by talking about programming topics over the last 6 months. I believe like I gained some credibility and I answered people's questions. And that's where customers came from. And long story short, I kept basically getting the same type of question all over again. Almost every day I wake up and I see DMs and questions. I'm starting new. What should I tweet about? How should I build an audience? Should I start by blogging? Should I tweet? Should I do this and that? And basically the same thing repeated itself. I found myself after 3 or 4 months pretty much answering the same questions one-on-one. I was barely keeping up and I thought there's interest, definitely. It was clear that there's interest from people. They wanted to know a bit more about me. It's hard to quantify it. Again, this is all very nebulous. I had no idea whether there were potentially 200 customers or 2,000 or whatever. It just felt like that there's some interest. So that's basically how I created the second one. So it's the same thing. I created it. I mentioned it on Twitter. And again, then initially, I didn't really promote the second product aggressively. I probably tweeted since April, so pretty much 9-10 months, and maybe tweeted about it 5 times. And it sold over 5,000 copies. I think mostly word of mouth, people buying it, they refer it to their friends, they mention it in their internal Discord channels and Team Slacks. Like this is how lots of the business is coming from. And people sometimes, obviously, from my Twitter profile links, and they get from there.
How were you able to determine your pricing up front? So the first one was $28.
Yeah.
And then the Twitter course, how much did that start out at?
So the Twitter course, I probably overpriced it a little bit. I had two versions. I started with a $59 and a $74. So it was a $15 sort of optional upgrade. And I think probably it was a bit too high. The fans, like the early adopters, jumped on it, but I think it was probably caused some psychological anchor that made it harder for most people to treat it as an impulse buy. So I reduced it just a little bit, just from 59 to 50, and it seemed like it helped a lot. And very recently, I think about a month ago, I dropped it a little bit again to $40, the base price, which I felt like it tapped into another pool of... Because it's fascinating, you hear a lot of advice online that you should charge more and you should tie your pricing to your value. But I think for consumer products like this, pricing is almost all psychology. Sometimes I read a book, it feels like it was worth $10,000, I would find it hard to pay more than $50 for a paperback, regardless of how much it's going to be worth. So I think I experiment a little bit with pricing. You can't really change it too much because you don't want to upset people who paid much higher recently. So I don't get that luxury to, especially since I need to promote it to the same people who might have already purchased it. But basically, to answer your question, the test that I ask myself in terms of how I set my pricing initially, I just try to study my own behavior, right, in terms of what would I pay for this type of product. And I think it's harder to do when you're looking at your product. So I think what I had been trying to do mostly myself to try to calibrate how I think is when I go to purchase other people's stuff. And sometimes I see this interesting thing, it's $199. I feel like it's too expensive. I'm about to purchase, but I say, well, it's probably not worth $200. Then sometimes I find something I'm barely interested, but in the topic, but it's $25, and I just buy it just out of curiosity. Like, so sort of examining my own behavior about how I react to these things sort of it's what I think it's what influences me most about how I set my pricing. Which, look, I admit it's not the perfect strategy. Obviously, I'm modeling about myself. Not everyone thinks like me or has the same circumstances. But I think it's at least it's a starting point. And I think it's a reasonably decent, good bet that if I behave this way, probably a few other people will behave similarly, right? So I think it's probably a good starting point for many people.
I agree, actually. Like, maybe it's not the most scientific way that you could determine a price, but most people look at pricing in a very robotic fashion, and it has to end in a 7 or else it's not going to have as high engagement. But really, I like the way you have this gut feeling of what you would pay for it. That's probably a good thing to test out. And for anybody listening to this worrying about pricing, I would recommend that too. Go with your gut, test things out, and if it works, if not, make some other assumptions. But I am curious, you've mentioned a little bit about tweeting or posting to people that have maybe already bought the product, but then there are inherently people that have seen the product but not bought it yet. So early on, and even right now with that product or any of your products, how do you engage people in your audience that did not buy immediately, but you still think could have a chance? Like, how do you treat them differently than people that you initially marketed to and successfully converted into a customer?
No, this is one of the problems, probably, right? One of the challenges of promoting products to an audience, because especially to a Twitter audience, because it was email marketing, you might be able to segment more. And for example, just to give you, for example, Amazon as a publisher and as a seller of books changes prices for digital products all the time. Sometimes you go to look at a book, it's $2. Yesterday, it was $20. I think that they get this luxury because they're not like promoting it to the same people who just purchased it yesterday for $20. So it's easier for them to do it. I think that I don't really have a great answer. I think it's basically, it's important to try to be creative and find ways that just feel right and that you're not upsetting your customers. And I think this, I got this wrong occasionally, and I did have people telling me, I just paid for this. I just paid $59 for this. Why are you putting it on sale for $49 today? Right. And it's a signal. Right. Obviously, you can't please everyone, but I try to be careful. And I think I got better on it. Again, it's very hard to explain. I think it's the types of tweets that I try to write. I try to picture myself again, like just putting myself in the shoes of somebody who just purchased it. And I think even I actually just wrote a post yesterday about this topic. Like, for example, sometimes I let, before I promote something, I let almost my organic sales almost dry down before I do a promotion. So it minimizes the risk or the odds that somebody just purchased it very recently. Mm-hmm. So obviously this is common. Like, the promotion tactics that work really well on Twitter is just offering a discount. Right? Again, just, it's not rocket science, it really works. If you say something used to be $50 and for today only is $25, those people who had been on the fence about that are a bit more price sensitive tends to jump on it, right? I had a few tweets that made five figures, right? That made $12,000 in a day, like literally a single tweet. Which was literally, for example, I was just looking at one yesterday, like election day, US presidential election day, like November 4th. Initially, it was looking like it was my slowest day of the year. Like, it was almost noon and I had made no sales that day. And like, I posted this tweet where I said, if you want a break from election news for an hour, I'm offering my products for just half the price, just for today only. Right. And it made $10,000, right, in just a few hours. Which I think if you manage to be a bit playful, a bit creative, you know, with how you do it, and you don't do it frequently enough, you can get this work. I think you just have to play it by ear, nevertheless. Right? I definitely think like you can definitely overdo it, you can overpromote, and I think as I just mentioned, right? I think basically I try to almost not promote unless I need to. For example, I don't think I have mentioned my Twitter product probably for 2 months. Right, it's just been the amount of organic sales that's happening is enough for me. Just let word of mouth do the work. Right, and now if maybe next month they start to wane and to diminish, maybe it will inspire me to try some new experiment.
Sure. Let's dive into that a little bit, the Gumroad ecosystem that you have, because once you get people to buy, that's not actually the end of it, because Gumroad is, it's got a system such that it actually basically lets you have your own newsletter to those people. Yeah. So first off, do you use that function?
Oh yeah, yeah, absolutely. I don't have, I only have 3 products right now, so there's not a lot of opportunity for me to just market my second product to my first audience. And in reality, especially, like, I have two very different products. One is about a technical book, and one is more about social media sort of usage, right, which are not necessarily, there's not much cross sort of promotion opportunities. Nevertheless, for example, my third product that I just launched last month, which is like a membership, it's like a paid newsletter, essentially, which is like an all access monthly update about all my business activities, all my financial details, and so on and so forth. I launched this by pretty much sending an email to all my previous 11,000 customers, and it really worked well. So basically, using the Gumroad feature, I could pretty much send a post. I chose all customers and followers, which was basically over 11,000, I think 11,500. And yeah, like, it had a successful launch again, made like another $11,000 in the first day or two, pretty much just from that email. It's not, obviously, there were a few people who I had mentioned it on Twitter, so it's a bit hard to distinguish sometimes, but it was definitely important. But it gives you opportunities for the future as well, like any new products that I might launch in the future, like it's another audience that just happens to be created just from my customers. But again, like, you have to be careful. You can't be, you don't want to be spammy, right? You just, it's very hard to describe how to not be spammy. I just, again, like, mostly play it by ear. And does it feel spammy? And sometimes, again, like, I made mistakes where after the fact, I felt like this was a bit too pushy, but you learn from these.
What about the reviews or the rating side of things? Right now you have 160 ratings of the Gumroad course. I'm curious if that's just been totally organic and natural, or if you've actually had a concise strategy for gathering reviews and ratings and social proof.
No, I didn't do anything. I think what helps mostly for social proof is the testimonials that I put, and these are mostly public tweets. I've been using pretty much tweets that I get, like people just saying on Twitter publicly, just, I love this product, it helped me do this, and I tend to just refer to them. And I just let them happen organically. So initially when I launched, actually, I have no testimonials. And I think I'm just relying on my own credibility alone initially, right? Sort of the type of products that I'm doing are the types of products that I had already been talking about them for at least 6 months before I released them. So it's, that's what I'm basing them on. And I think then the testimonials and the ratings tend to help the pool of potential customers that don't necessarily know me as well, right? Because my 55,000 Twitter followers, they don't, not all of them have been following me since the beginning. Some of them just started following me yesterday. They know very little about me. So I think when they encounter these products, right, they need to be more convinced. And I think ratings and testimonials definitely help those kinds of customers.
My final question around the Gumroad stuff, and then I want to just chat briefly about your Twitter. For Gumroad, I know people that do and do not promote it using ads, like integrating with Facebook ads and uploading the pixel and everything. Have you run ads to promote the course? And if so, have you seen success with that?
Yeah. So I did it. I tried initially for my AWS book. I never tried for my Twitter course. Like, I thought about it, but I really struggled to imagine how I would even promote it. But the AWS book in particular, since I know, like, there's lots of organic search, there's like communities and lots of places, I experimented a little bit, pretty much with every platform. Eventually everything failed except one thing, just promoting on the r/AWS sub on Reddit, right, which is super targeted for my book. And sort of, I had three phases. I started back in January of last year. I made a 1 week experiment. I had 5 days where it was barely working, barely profitable. And then it started to be, I was losing money. I was paying more for ads than I was making sales. So I stopped it. Then I think when the pandemic started, I was hearing rumors that, like, ad prices had fallen significantly. And I thought, let me just give it a try again. And it actually was really working really well. I was managing to bid very low CPC rates, like under $10, under 10 cents a click, where 3 months before I was paying like 50 cents a click. So suddenly it was working really well. I was making more than $2 for every dollar I was spending. Nevertheless, there was still little availability because this is quite a small sub, right? So I was just spending $40 a day and making $80, $90 in sales. Nothing huge, but it was working. And I think it was working for about 3 months. And then the same thing happened. I don't know. It was, I think, partly ad fatigue. Pretty much, I think everyone in the room had seen my ad, and partly the prices started to creep up again. So I wasn't managing to pay 10 cents a click. I was starting to pay now 20 or 25. Right? So it was eating in my profitability. So basically I stopped again, and I only resumed like last month, actually, just in December. pretty much I was looking at my sales and they were, of that product, and they were trending down, and I was wondering, what should I try? And I thought maybe the lowest hanging fruit is like to try to tweak the ad copy a little bit. And almost 6 months had passed, and I thought maybe it's worth giving it a shot. Mm-hmm. And so far it's working again. Like, it's not as profitable as before, maybe making $1.50 for every dollar spent. It's been about a month right now. Overall with ads, I made over $200,000 in sales overall for my info products, and ads is only about $14,000, $15,000. Right? So it's not a huge amount, right? But it's just, it helps. I think if I had more spare time and wanted to invest more into figuring out Facebook ads and other things, there's probably more opportunity. But in my situation, it's just so far, I've never been convinced that it's just worth just spending, you know, money and figuring out how to make it work. So
sure.
There's only 24 hours in the day, unfortunately. So I have to cut some things.
My final little question here for you around Twitter. We've talked a little bit about how you use Twitter and you try to engage with everybody that you can, mm-hmm. and comment with people and talk about specific subjects. So I don't want to dive too much into your personal way of using Twitter, because I think you covered that pretty well already. But with your developer background, just knowing what you know, what ideas or theories maybe do you have about the Twitter algorithm, for example, that you think actually works? Have you considered any of the technical aspect of Twitter and why what you're doing actually seems to click with the platform?
I don't, to be honest, I don't say too much into it. I try to get a sense of what's working with what I'm doing, and whether it's the algorithm helping, or whether it's just because the audience is interested, or whether it's because I have credibility. So that I don't try to read too much into it. But definitely, I think one piece of advice I would say, which is probably one of the biggest mistake people make when trying to build an audience, especially in the beginning, is that I think you need to figure out a way of earning credibility on the stuff you're talking about before you start talking about them. It's very easy to tweet. I can talk about anything, but it would just be tweeting in the void, right? People will just tune you out or not see you. If I start talking about health and fitness or something that people don't know me, or I have no credibility on the topic, it's just a waste of time. If you have followers, people will either unfollow you or stop listening to you. So I think this is what's important to be strategic about. How am I going to get known or build some credibility on a particular topic? And there's various ways. A lot of, I think what helped me in the very beginning was to go, instead of starting with Twitter, just go to places where people already hang around, forums like Hacker News, Reddit, in the hackers, other places, right? And just treat Twitter almost as a mailing list, where I start presenting my ideas in those forums where people are already refreshing the page of the day, like looking for something interesting. And then I invite people, like, if you want to follow what I'm doing in real time, follow me on Twitter. And sort of, I almost stopped doing that, even though I do it occasionally, but not as frequently. Nowadays, it's mostly just, I've evolved quite a lot what I talk about, but it's mostly driven by what I'm doing myself in my life. Like, as I mentioned before, in the beginning, I was talking more about programming topics. I rarely do that anymore, just because I'm not really programming anymore. I'm just not thinking about programming at all. So there was a phase where I was talking about building an audience, because I was getting many people asking me about it. So I was just thinking about it, about talking about info products more recently. And sometimes I talk about things, I started to notice that there's not much interest, and maybe it sent me the signal that maybe I shouldn't emphasize those things more. So I definitely get some guidance from the audience, right? There is some signal, even though I think as well, you want to be careful and not just lean too much into what the audience wants. I think it's still important. So yeah, these are all, they're not very technical things. That is just, you start to sense them and you just start to, probably the easiest way to describe it is that I try to find the intersection of, about when I want to decide what to talk about, right? The intersection of what I'm interested in, what I think my audience is interested in, and what I have credibility with. It's like those three, the Venn diagram and sort of the intersection of those three things. Like, because if I'm not interested in the topic right now, it doesn't matter how much my audience is interested in. It's just going to be very hard to be inspired to talk about something genuinely. If I don't have credibility, again, like, it's hard to be heard, people won't care. And if I have credibility, I'm interested, but my current audience just doesn't care, right? It's just not very useful as well.
Gotcha. There's a lot to unpack there, and I'm super happy that you were able to come on, and there's probably a lot more that we could dive into, so maybe you'll have to come back down the road again. But again, Daniel Vassalo, and you're at Twitter, at dvassalo, and also you can check out his Gumroad. Just like literally go into Google and type Gumroad Daniel Vassalo, and he'll show up. I just did it to make sure it works. So you're good to check him out there. Highly encourage, if you're not following him already, to do. And thank you again so much for coming on.
Thanks, Blake. Nice to be here.
Thank you for listening to How I Built My Audience. If you found something noteworthy or interesting in this episode, remember to subscribe wherever you get your podcast. And hey, share it with a friend.